This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. The USA Women's National Hockey Team is now less than a year away from the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea. And the team's goal is simple, but can be elusive. Win the gold medal. Two-time Olympic silver medalists Hillary Knight and twins Monique and Jocelyn Lamoureux sat down with me this week during their media tour of New York City. Their teammate Megan Duggan was also on the trip. Let's first meet Hillary Knight on Sports Jam. She's one of the greatest hockey players in the world and will be competing this afternoon in the National Women's Hockey League All-Star Game in Pittsburgh, PA. She's a forward with the Boston Pride. Then in March, she'll look to lead the USA women's team to another world championship. Let's head to Midtown Manhattan now and meet Hillary Knight on Sports Jam. Hillary, as you can see from my hat, I follow the Penguins, and one of the players who won the cup, no longer a Penguin, but defenseman Ben Lovejoy has called you one of the greatest hockey players in the world. And I know that means a lot to you because it's not one of the greatest female players in the world. It's one of the greatest hockey players in the world. What's your reaction to that?
Lovejoy's a great player. I've watched his career from college and to his professional career unfold, and it's been a joy to watch him progress and advance his game. But it's also an honor to receive that type of a compliment from such a great guy, and to have it not even separate by gender or whatnot. You know, I'm here just to play hockey, and that's been my goal, my childhood goal, and to have it from an elite player like him, it's a great compliment.
You're such a role model for not only young women, but for anybody that wants to play this sport. You take it seriously, don't you?
Absolutely, because I take fun seriously. I want to have a lot of fun, and I want to share my joy and my passion with everybody, and what better way to do it through a team sport? I mean, we can do so much and change the world just through sport and just while having fun at the same time. Who knew?
A move to Chicago changed your whole life, didn't it, when you were a little kid?
Absolutely. I moved from California to Chicago, and I come from a predominantly skiing family, and my mom was like, what do I do with my kids? There are no mountains here. So luckily, she's super active in sport, and she met this other woman who coached her sons and daughters. I was like, you need to sign them up to play hockey. So that's how I got into ice hockey.
And now a two-time silver medalist going for gold for sure in 2018 in Pyeongchang. I was talking to the twins. They're so motivated to win gold. I'm sure that you're right in there with them.
Absolutely. I think if anything, after listening to, you know, both the twins and Megan speak when we were here on this media tour with the USOC and Team USA, it's just we got even more fired up. I mean, not that we needed it, but, you know, it's gold or bust for us, and we're really excited for this other opportunity. And to bring home a gold medal to the United States and represent your country is such a great honor, and I hope we can bring that back.
Hillary, when did you know you were good enough to play at an elite level?
I still don't know. I mean, you got to work really hard. Nothing's for sure. But I think in high school, I started more closely following different players, and I said, okay, you know, how do I get to the Olympics? Like, what is that difference maker that gets me there? And you know, a year later, I'm on the senior national team. While in high school, I'm like, okay, this is great. I'm gonna be a sponge. I'm gonna learn everything. I'm gonna, you know, watch what Angela Ruggiero's doing or what Chrissy Wendell's doing, and try and make those adaptions in my life.
Yeah, you talked about being a sponge when you had to practice with the Ducks, and Bruce Boudreau was coaching at the time, and it was quite impressed with your play as well.
Well, everybody has heroes, and I'm sure if I'm a girl playing hockey, it would be somebody like Hillary Knight, and to see your hero come right in and watch her play and see how good a player she is. I mean, I would venture to believe that those kids, those young ladies, are sitting there going, "Oh, if I work hard enough, I can be like her." And so I think it means a lot, because I don't think that the kids at this level, the girls at this level, have seen someone anywhere near as good close up as Hillary Knight.
You were talking about how you just tried to learn from everything that day.
I think whenever you can get on the ice with great players, there's something to learn. So I'm watching the guys shoot, and I'm like, okay, you know, how do I get my release that way? What am I taking back to when I go back to Boston and train? And it's always a great opportunity when you can get on the ice with great players, and it's really fun.
Keeping net in front, she shoots, and Hillary Knight scores!
You're an elite scorer. What is it about Hillary Knight that makes you better than the rest?
I have no idea. You'd have to kind of tell me that. I don't know. I liked I just like to have fun, and I try to find open spaces and to put the puck in the back of the net. There's no other feeling when the crowd's either cheering or booing you for that. So to try and trace that feeling every single time you have the puck on your stick is something I strive for.
Yeah, I love the fact that, you know, that your family is a skiing family until you move, but your brothers helped you. Playing hockey is difficult enough, but when did you know that this was the sport for you?
Yeah, I knew hockey was a sport because I kept coming back. You know, I've tried my hand at pretty much every sport. I absolutely love skiing, and I'll probably return to skiing later. But I came to this moment where it's like, am I going to be a skier or am I going to be a hockey player? And I just found a little bit more passion in ice hockey. I mean, the game is so dynamic. You can write it up or draw it up, but it's never going to unfold that way. And there's something about being a part of a team and playing a team sport that, you know, it's unparalleled. And if you haven't done it, I encourage someone to do it, just because you've got this immediate family and you share these memories and triumphs and low points all together. And when you accomplish something, it means that much more.
You've won world championships. When we talk about championship teams, they always talk about a core, whether it be with the San Antonio Spurs and the NBA, the core players that they have. You have a core group of players that are on this tour with you that know what it takes to win and have won the silver, but now it's time for gold.
We've got a great veteran group, great leadership, you know, wonderful people. I mean, I've grown up with these women. You know, it was funny, one of the cab drivers, when he was dropping Megan and I off yesterday, goes, "Oh, are you guys sisters?" And I was like, "No, but kind of, yeah. I mean, I guess we are. We've known each other for, you know, 10 years. We've had the privilege of playing with one another. The twins the same way. I mean, I wouldn't go to battle with anyone else."
We're number one!
Woo! Talk about your years at Wisconsin.
Amazing. I mean, being a Badger, I can't really find words. It was such a great time to be at the University of Wisconsin. I mean, you've got Mark Johnson as a head coach. You've got the Badger fans and the Badger community, which is amazing in itself. And you've got good teammates. I don't know. I am very fortunate and lucky to have had that opportunity to go to Wisconsin.
I think 2018 will be an ultimate year for Hillary Knight, but 2014 was pretty good too, not only winning the silver medal, but you had a message that you wanted to send to women in general about the shape of your body, strength. When you were on ESPN, the magazines, you know, the body issue. Obviously, you changed a lot of perceptions for young girls, and I think it's gone so much since then.
Yeah, I mean, I think it sort of happened by chance, to be honest. I was trying to put on weight to fulfill my role as a power forward, and I know that competing at 5'11 and 185 pounds versus other competitors in our player pool, it gives you a huge advantage. And then playing against Canada at that weight, no one can stop you. So during that quest to sort of train more and put that weight on, I just started posting pictures. And people were like, "Oh, my gosh, she's posting pictures of her scale and how much she weighs. It's not like how much pounds she's lost." And I was like, "Oh, I think I'm onto something here." But, no, I went through the whole process myself of being strong and comfortable in my body. You know, you put on muscles and you tend to think, oh, you know, you're ashamed of that. You know, I want to cover my arms because they look too strong. But instead, you need to embrace those differences, and you need to embrace that hard work and what your body looks like, because everybody's different. So just embrace the uniqueness, and that's where the Strong is Beautiful tag came out.
And in 2017, I think that, you know, that's almost a matter of fact now that women feel that way, and so do men when they look at women.
Absolutely. I hope everyone feels that way. I mean, each of us are different, and to embrace one another's differences, I think, is one of the most beautiful things we can do. And if I can share that message and with a platform that I have just through sport, it's sort of a dream come true to be able to impact people's lives in a positive way.
We're fast. We're talented. We're amazing athletes. And if people could sort of throw away this, oh, women are, you know, a little bit less skilled than the men notion, that would be great, because we're great athletic women who are amazing role models who are super involved in each community that we touch, and it's just, it would be nice for the entire world to sort of open up and accept that and see it. So I think there's other culture barriers that need to be taken care of. I've made it to the top of the women's game, and I'm going to try and stay there, but I'd like to challenge myself and sort of tiptoe and see where I can find myself in the men's game.
At that time, did you think you could do those poses for that magazine? Because you're kind of vulnerable at that time.
Yeah. So when I originally got the call, I was fist pumping. I was like, this is a dream come true. You know, an athlete wants to be in this magazine, and it's so artfully done. And then I didn't really understand the magnitude and how billions of people would see this image, and it would just be there forever. But when I showed up on set, I was like, oh, my gosh, like, can I do this? And I kept coming back to the fact that, you know, this is going to be great for women's hockey. This is going to be great for females. And I'm sending a very powerful message. And this is only a way to do it, but it's got to be done. And afterwards, you know, my brothers didn't like me for a while or whatnot. I had to take my parents to the bar beforehand to let them know what was going on. But it was a really fun shoot. ESPN was really respectful. And I'm happy it turned out the way that it did.
What's the best comment a young girl has said to you, either since then or lately?
Anything from a simple, like, I look up to you or I want to be like you, and I'm always like, don't be like me, be better than me. You know, I'm trying to just put my feet down so someone can build off of me and move forward, because that's what I've done. I mean, there have been so many instrumental women that have come before me, come before our team, to get us to where we are, and we're only just a process in this whole thing.
You're amazing on social media, and you have a terrific website as well. I noticed the post of, this is my first NBA game at the Knicks last night. Yeah. Now you're going to the Rangers. Talk about just watching other athletes perform in a different sport.
I love watching other athletes. And I think, you know, you tend to knock different sports because you haven't seen them, or maybe you're not an athlete. But unless you've seen an athlete in their element playing their sport, I mean, it's, you can't knock it. And I've never seen professional basketball, so I was really excited to have the opportunity to watch the Knicks play last night. And I was just blown away by the skill. I mean, regardless of how they're doing in their season, it is still phenomenal and very impressive to play at that level with such a small court with massive people on the court. But I think that's something that I really want to try and get into, is collaborating with other athletes and really hoping to make a strong, you know, powerful collaboration with somebody.
Doesn't have to be women's hockey, doesn't have to be hockey. Who would you want to sit down and have a conversation like you and I are having right now? Someone who you looked up to, or, and they don't have to be around anymore. Who would that be?
Well, I don't know about that, do not have to be around anymore, because then you just make the list even bigger. But I think just specifically right now, Serena Williams. I mean, she's transcended her sport, and she's not only changed her sport on the court, but what she's done for women, what she's done pretty much across, you know, different realms for society is incredible. So to be able to sit down with her and have the opportunity to pick her brain or even just enjoy her company would be really cool.
I had brought this up with Jocelyn that when I was doing some preparation for your interview, Kerry Walsh Jennings came into mind, because she has the similar approach that you do. I'm not just a female, you know, volleyball player. I'm a volleyball player. I am strong, and it takes a lot of hard work to get to where we're at. And I think that, you know, you have that same message, that people don't understand the work, the training that goes into being an elite athlete like yourself.
Absolutely. You know, there's a famous quote that it's on the wall at the Olympic Training Center. It's, the Olympics aren't every 4 years, they're every single day. And I think that's something that not only I, but a lot of my teammates embody. And we train our butts off every single day to have the opportunity to represent our country, and then to have the opportunity to bring back a gold medal. And what the fans get to see is the fun part, the entertaining side, the, oh, let's just show up and, you know, have the girls play or the women play. But, you know, there's a lot of hard work and behind the scenes that goes into getting ourselves to that stage. And, you know, I think people are starting to get it and see how hard we train. And I think that's just another tool that social media has allowed us to have, is to really push our training schedules out there and to get people to see what type of commitment it takes to be an Olympic athlete.
You know, as one of the most powerful women on the planet right now, what are your thoughts of the Women's March and the whole atmosphere here in this country right now?
Oh, that's a tough question. You know, I'm all for equal pay and equal rights and respecting one another, and whatever that looks like. And, you know, I retweeted something about the march because I thought it was great. I mean, you know, people are reminding it's 2017 and we still don't necessarily have equal pay across the board. So that's something of great interest and something that I definitely want to get involved in moving forward of trying to promote that message as well, because, you know, we still have that struggle going on our side. You know, we're trying to build a professional ice hockey league and get it to where it should be and get paid for the careers that we want to choose and just to play hockey. So when it's great because we can look to our male counterparts and say, okay, they've got the NHL. You know, what are we going to build it for ourselves?
You're listening to Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle, and my guest is Hillary Knight, one of the stars of the USA women's hockey team. She's also with the Boston Pride and competing in the National Women's Hockey League All-Star Game in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this afternoon. Let's head back to Midtown Manhattan now and find out more about the future of the NWHL. The league had a couple of setbacks recently with cutting salaries and the ending of the season, or cutting it short at least. But I know you're still positive about the future for women's hockey. Tell me about it.
The future of women's hockey is really bright, and I think it would only do numbers if we could bring back a gold medal. Because we'd amplify, you know, sort of our voices, and registration numbers would increase, and we could share the love that the 1998 team brought to us when we were younger, of just having a gold medal and inspire the younger generation. But there's a lot of fun things coming up on the horizon, some things that I might not necessarily know about, but just the belief that our sport, this is such an exciting time to be involved in this sport and to be able to be one of the ones to continue to push it forward. So you'd have to stay tuned to what's coming next.
So you mentioned the team with Cammy Granato and the stars that won that gold medal for the U.S. 20 years ago. How about the U.S. women's soccer team? They did the same thing when they won championships. Girls all over, and boys too, got more interested in soccer. This could be the same for you with a gold, as you mentioned, in Pyeongchang.
Yeah, I think whenever you come home a winner, it's a great thing. you know, it's interesting because Sochi, we went over as hockey players and we came back as sort of, you know, the sweethearts of America. You know, we captivated North Americans' hearts. You know, it was such a heartbreaker. We sensationalized a sport. And that's something that's powerful. And to be able to have that impact and see that impact and have people come up to you in the grocery store saying, you know, I'm so sorry. Like, I felt that too. I was watching that game and thinking, okay, now what does it look like when we win that game and we can bring that back? And what is that going to do for the growth?
What do you like to do to, you know, when it comes to helping young kids? Are you thinking about coaching at some point?
I don't know about coaching. You know, I'll probably do different clinics here and there and some camps. But I don't know if the set coaching, you know, collegiate level or whatnot's for me. So we'll have to see.
Should the men... the U.S. men's hockey team compete in the Olympics? You know, there's big determination right now. Is it going to be, you know, what the NHL wants to do? What's your thoughts on that?
I think as a competitor, I always want the best players on the team. So, you know, there's obviously a lot of other things that go into making that decision. But just from a competitive standpoint, you know, you want the best players representing your country because you want to be on the podium at the end of the day. So it's kind of my two cents, but there's a lot of other things that go into it, and insurance and whatnot, so I guess we'll have to see what they decide.
I know getting a gold in 2018 would be the highlight, but to this point in your amazing career, what's the play that sticks in your mind, that the Bobby Orr type play that everybody remembers? What is it for Hillary Knight?
Oh, boy. I don't even know. Compare me to Bobby Orr type play. Yikes. I don't know. I mean, a memorable goal that was scored was during the Olympic gold medal game. I think we were on a power play, and you know, I walked up the half wall, or I don't even know, remember where I was in the zone, to be honest, and I saw Carpenter on the back door, saw that the skates were going to switch, was able to feed a pass right through someone's skates and hit her on the back door, and she put the puck in the net. And I think in that moment, you know, regardless if you're the one putting the puck in the net or passing the puck or creating the play, it was just, you know, it was so cool to be a part of that celebration, you know, for your country.
Speaking of the differences in countries, the rivalry with Canada, how close are you with players on that team? Because there's a mix in the leagues and that. Is there bitterness? Is there rivalry there? What is it?
That's an interesting question, because the rivalry is definitely amped up, for sure. And it's something that we feel and we are a part of. But I think at the same time, when you remove us from the hockey rink, we've, on both sides of the border, we've done a lot to try and promote our game. And we know that we sort of need each other in that way. And we've been through the same airports and traveled the same schedules and seen the same cities. So it's only natural that we know each other. And some of us are cordial. But at the same time, when you're there with your country, you want to win. So whatever that takes, when you get between the glass, on the ice, you want to pound that person through the boards.
Well, I like that. For the World Championships, just another test, you guys have been really dominating, you know, the World Championships.
Absolutely. You know, I think that speaks volumes of our leadership group and our veteran core. You know, I've had the opportunity to be a part of, six World Championship titles. So, I mean, that's pretty cool in such a short amount of time, I guess. But at the same time, it's tough because we don't have that visibility yet for those world titles. So I think right now we're focused on our home world title and trying to amp up the fan base there. And then after that, it's all Olympics.
He's going to bring it with speed right down the middle. Score! Initially waved off, but it did cross the line without any
hard shot by Hillary Knight, but just the way it rolls off or the way it bounces, turns right into the net.
What did you do younger days as far as individual sports that helped you, you know, hone your skills for hockey?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, I skied a lot when I was younger, so I think that really helped with knee bend and building up my leg muscles at such a young age and figuring out how to maneuver my body and control my body weight on the different edges. And then outside of hockey, I mean, I kind of did everything. I was sort of the one sport wonder. My mom would joke around. She's like, oh, Hillary's trying this week, and it would never stick. So tennis was another one that really honed hand-eye coordination and footwork. And if you don't see any of those in my game today, I apologize. But no, I think, you know, I'm all for trying different things to try and make myself better on the ice.
You bring up mom a lot when people talk to you. You talk about how she basically, when grandma said, what do you mean she's going to play hockey? Mom seems to be this wonderful influence on you, whether it's making yogurt, desserts, or whatever. What is it about your relationship with mom?
I kind of forced her into the yogurt dessert thing. She was tired, and I was like, no, mom, we got to make this Chobani whipped cream Greek yogurt thing. But no, she's... you know, it's funny because I usually name other people as, you know, strong female influencers, but she's the strongest female influencer that I've ever had. And that goes back from such a young age, encouraging me to play hockey. And I was, one of the only girls at the time on my team. And, you know, saying, don't worry about them. Just go play hockey. Girl, boy, it doesn't matter. Just go do it. And I think that's what really resonates with me now. It's like, oh, it's not women's hockey, it's hockey. We're here to play hockey. We're here to be the best hockey players. But my mom sparked all that. I mean, she made sure that I had the right, schedule or resources in order to pursue my dreams and really helped me pursue those.
And you think about it, it wasn't really the time necessarily that, you know, that women had the opportunities that they do now. What do you think was inside her that was motivating her to feel that way?
Well, she's a competitor in her own right. She loves tennis, and she played field hockey growing up, and she skis. But I think, you know, I am one of the benefactors of, you know, the Title IX, even though, you know, I'm years behind the whole Title IX movement, and but she wasn't necessarily able to capitalize off of that. And times have definitely changed, and I think she saw a little bit of herself in me and said, you know, I can change her life, and she can do things that I wasn't able to do when I was younger. And that's why I think it's such an honor to be in the position I am today, and I don't take any single day for granted.
You have a real strong message, so I'm going to put you on the spot. You win the gold medal in 2018, and they turn to you and say, the whole world is watching Hillary Knight right now, and you get 5 minutes to talk about whatever you want to talk about. What are you stressing to the entire world?
That's a tough one. Probably just to, and this sounds so cliche, but to set goals, dream big, shatter those goals, and do it again, and repeat it, and, you know, have fun while you're doing it. Find your passion and totally pursue that with an open heart, 2 feet in, because that's really what I've done, that's what my teammates have done, and that's what's gotten us to our success points, and hopefully we can continue that. But I think it's so strong to have sort of that moral compass or that north that helps guide you through life, and whatever that may be, and impacting other people's lives in a positive way. And maybe that just comes with being an Olympian and all the Olympic ideals, but I think it's really important to have goals.
So when during this next year are we going to know, yep, this team's a little bit different than to give up that lead in the third period. This team is going to get that gold medal. When will we know? Is there a sign that you can send to us?
I'll wave. No, you're going to know. You're going to feel it. Our team is just so strong and so powerful, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are looking for us to choke, and we're not going to do that this time. You know, not that it, you know, game unfolds, and whether it's 60 minutes or plus, it's going to be Team USA's time. It's been 20 years, and we're sick of waiting, and we're just going to go out there and conquer it.
One last question. When was the first time you scored a goal? Do you remember? It could have been in a basket. It could have been at home. Do you remember the first feeling that you had when you were on the ice and actually put the puck in the net?
Absolutely. It's funny because I, for many years, had a terrible shot, and it's something I worked on for a long time to try and get to the same level as my teammates, and I couldn't lift the puck. So you'd have these sort of pig piles in front of the nets, and you're like, how do you lift the puck up, or how do you get it over the goalie's pad? And I remember the first time I was able to lift it, and I didn't even care that it went in the net. I was just happy that it could lift the puck, purposefully lift the puck. It wasn't by accident. And just the sheer excitement and enjoyment that gave me, I was like, I want to do it again and again and again and again. And that's why I just love scoring goals.
So we hope to see that amazing smile of yours on the podium getting the gold medal in 2018. Best of luck with the World Championships as well, and we appreciate you sitting down with us on Sports Jam.
Thank you very much for having me.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all the podcasts by going to WBGO.org/SportsJam. Or find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on iTunes. My next guests will be the twins, Jocelyn and Monique Lamoureux, and talking more Team USA hockey. Special thanks going out to Team USA's Rob Koch and also to Joe Favorito for their help this week. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.